Welcome, everybody, to Weekly Wings, a DroneLife.com podcast. Paul Rossi here with Samuel Stansberry and Terry Neff. We've got an informational packed episode for everybody this week. Terry, how are you doing? How things been? How's life been treating you?
Doing pretty good. Nothing too much to complain about. Hope everybody's safe up in Western North Carolina.
Yeah, in all parts. I'd say all parts of the Southeast. Us being here in North Carolina, it's easy to see there's some very significant flooding. Very non-normal flooding. Samuel, how are you doing?
I've been a little under the weather. Hasn't been COVID. Tested negative for that. But on the tail end of that, so that's some good news. As opposed to everything else that's going on. But yeah, on the up and
up. As you say, I felt like shit for, maybe like a week. But now that I said that, I was like, oh, well, hope I didn't give it to Samuel, whatever I had, because we did happen to see each other. So no, I think there's a bug going around. I just had a quick question, Books. We've got folks listening in. And we talk a lot about the, current events, drones, things like that. But one question that just came to my head, I wanted to know, what's one book you would recommend to listeners, Samuel, folks that are tuning in?
As like a drone pilot or like as a...
Just a positive life book. It could be not drones. I'm sure there's not like a long list of drone books that you have on the bookshelf. Just life, book, leadership, entertainment. Same question to you, Terry.
I'll let Samuel go first if he has one.
Yeah, you caught me a little off guard with that question. One of my favorite books is Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. I wouldn't call it an inspirational leadership book, but it's definitely an entertainment book. It was adapted into a movie, but that's one of my favorite books personally. Got me a little off guard with that, but yeah.
Terry, what about you?
Well, I can't say I've read a ton of self-help books, but I'm currently reading 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. I'm only a few chapters in. I think I'm on rule 3 or 4, so it's been pretty good so far. I like the way he explains stuff. It's helped so far.
I misunderstood right the assignment.
No, it could have been any book, entertainment, anything, just anything one of our listeners might enjoy. And then I would just say the book Grit by Angela Duckworth. So I think Terry might have.
Yeah, I got that. I didn't read it. I bought it because of you, but then I never read it.
Angela Duckworth, Grit. Yeah, sorry, I got a great episode. We'll kind of dive into things. We'll talk about a recent SpaceX. We're not going to talk about the Patriots because they're just, let's not talk about the Patriots. SpaceX Dragon has just as we're recording this podcast is docking with the ISS. We'll dive into that. Sky Elements Light Show, they just this weekend set a world record. So this is really exciting to dive into that. We'll let Samuel possibly unpack things, seeing as how we've assigned him the resident expert. We'll be looking at some counter UAS technology as well as also some counter UAS technologies and new drone technology we're seeing in the new contemporary operating environment. In our this spotlight, well, the poop copter, we talked about the dung beetle, and I never again thought we would be talking about poop on the podcast. So it's just too interesting not to discuss it. We'll be looking at a sail drone that went into the hurricane just recently, discuss drone use in the success side. We have Aslan Robotics again unveiling some new technology, a missing teenager found. In the regulatory corner, DFR program, again, the common theme, BV loss, patent being issued for counter UAS, and we'll end things up in Boston, speaking about a Boston man. Whew, all right. And so thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. Just kidding. Let's see. Private pass system private. Here we go. Allow for 1 month. System update. Fantastic. So just in the last few hours here, the Dragon capsule has docked with the ISS. And why is this, I guess, significant more than most other times? Are you guys familiar with the two astronauts stuck at the ISS?
Been a few months now, yeah. Been loosely following that story.
I think at least a month. I'd have to.
Probably feels like a few if you're up there.
Yeah, just rolling through here. But so the significance, just two astronauts were on board this recent SpaceX Dragon capsule. And so the two test pilots that Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, June 5th. So let's see, June 5th. So June, July. Yeah, way more than 2 months, right?
Yeah.
June 5th. So just do the math. 3 months? 3.5, almost 4 months. They've been there. They're not coming back until February. So God. The Boeing Starliner, right? The Boeing, just think about it, like the spaceship that they took to get there, NASA wasn't confident that they could ride back on it safely. So they flew the Starliner back with no one on it. And it came back successfully. They could have. So what they've determined afterwards was like, oh, we could have had somebody on it. And now the Dragon capsule that has docked just recently with the International Space Station, instead of carrying four astronauts, it only carried two. And someone had to call up two of those astronauts and say, well, look, I know, and we mentioned this before, I think, since you did all your training, but guess what? You're not going to get to fly because we have to leave those seats open for Butch and Sonny to fly back. So it's been the first time since 2020 that, when it was, you put two pilots on for a test flight. But once this thing's operational, you're filling all four seats. So kind of a bummer for those astronauts that didn't get to go. But if you're Butch and Sonny and you see that, Dragon capsule coming up, you're like, oh yeah, there's our ride. But we're not going back till February.
A new level of homesick.
Yeah. But you're not going back still 5 more months. So it's pretty wild to spend a full 9 months. It's like a full pregnancy there on the ISS before you come home. And the best part, right? They didn't have any bags packed. Like they thought they were just going to go up there and then turn around and come back. The backpack packed for 9 months and all the space ice cream you can, your heart desires.
Every astronaut's dream, you're, right? Maybe
it's
not.
It's like that could be like the nightmare. The astronaut's nightmare is being,
It starts off okay.
It's like COVID, you get stuck somewhere. They couldn't leave. Have you guys ever gone somewhere and ended up being stuck there longer than you anticipated? I see Terry nod in the head.
Yeah. Been a few.
Maybe not that you can't to that
immediately
extent.
Leave.
Yeah.
Not 9 months, but
Definitely up north, I think. There might have been a time or two where a trip was extended due to some severe weather.
Yeah. Nice snowstorms near New York.
Either that or you're trying to run out sooner, trying to get to Syracuse Airport sooner than later.
Yeah.
Let's see. Some other exciting news, but here on Earth, that we're seeing that took place this weekend. And again, it's things like this, you don't even know they're going to happen until they've already happened. So what, and Sky Omens drones, we've talked about them in the past, Texas Space Company, they're the ones they're capturing the hearts of so many people right now on America's Got Talent. They got another golden buzzer. One of the founders of Sky Elements, you know, they did the most recent show as a tribute to his daughter who passed away. So being able to use drones to tell a very, not just a story, but like a very emotional story. It's they've made significant connection or as ambassadors for drones on America's Got Talent, and then here they are setting Guinness Book World Record. So what's happening here, Samuel?
That's kind of funny. Over the past weekend, I don't want to say Texas, because the drone show was in Texas, but I don't think the actual company itself is in Texas. But let's see. My tabs are all spread out here a little bit. Sky Elements. There we go. Sorry, I was just kind of blasting now. Sky Elements was doing a show in Texas. They were out to beat the previous record for the most drones in a drone show, it seems, which previous record held by Pablo Air. 1,068 drones up in the air at one given time. And it's funny, the company is named Pablo Air Company, but it's a South Korean company. And we went and had Sky Elements go out there over the weekend and beat that record. And they put, let's see, I believe it was 1,164 drones up in the air for their drone light show over the weekend.
Pyrotechnic drones.
Yeah, so they put that cherry on top.
And so I think the Guinness record for like most drones in a light show is like 5,000, right? But the most drones with pyrotechnics is the Guinness record that they just, within the last, 24 hours, this flight occurred. So we're seeing here on the screen in the share, that right there is that pyrotechnic where the drone lights are off, but you're seeing, that pyrotechnic. Terry, when are you going to be doing drone light shows?
Let's see. When I get a small loan of $1 million, I think I could probably start that company. So, it definitely costs money to get into this, but it is insanely cool if you can.
Notably, this one was free as well. I wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, it's not $40 to go to? That's fantastic.
This one was accessible for the public, but I think it's having that Guinness World Record kind of gives you a little cred to do that. That's what I'm thinking anyways.
Yeah, this isn't about the revenue. This is about the flex, right? This is about showing off.
Yeah.
Well, especially for Sky Elements too, is because we've seen them in the past now. They've popped up a number of times out of my mouth anyway, specifically.
And I think this is one of those, every time you have a new development in the technology or the capabilities, sometimes you have to go out there and show it off and showcase it in order to get people to buy in. So they are well known for just their standard light shows. And, you know, how do you now set the bar a little bit higher for these pyrotechnic shows? And it's not a matter of like, we don't want to do a lot of these shows. You just want to be able to, you know, have that elite customer. And you kind of mentioned it. This is a huge like Guinness Book World Record. It's going to get, you know, everyone's going to talk about it. It's like free, not free advertising, because it's the cost of whatever your time is and the pyrotechnic charges, but compared to trying to go buy an ad or a commercial or, you know, pay for Facebook ad placement or Instagram ad placements. This is kind of do it with a free drone light show for the community.
Yeah, it's self-spreading publicity.
It's a hard message to ignore when it's written out in the sky like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, the pyrotechnics, and it's just, it's so much. It's so many, like, it's a lot to think of, but the benefits are huge because not anyone can do it. So anyone can go buy a drone and do the photography and, you know, but to have these advanced pyrotechnic drone light shows, that's pretty wild. And now kind of pivoting a little bit to technology, looking at some, tech corner here. Honeywell is going to be demoing their new Kinetic soft kill counter UAS for the Air Force. So a multi-layered defense capabilities that is, setting this company apart. So with everything, again, that's happening in today's in Ukraine, what we're seeing around the Israeli conflict, the counter UAS system is, becoming as important. So what are you guys seeing here in this? Was there anything that kind of stuck out that you saw that maybe isn't what we're already seeing in a lot of these detection equipment or what we've seen recently where it's kind of firing, taking the system out?
I'm a little confused. What is it using to dismantle the drone and neutralize the threat? I don't. This article.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of asking from, when it talks about soft kill Kinetic. I figured Terry would have had some sweet,
insider knowledge
to pop up here.
I wish I knew. I don't.
Honeywell isn't disclosing a whole lot based on what it's saying. Blue Halo, Pierce Aerospace. Layering technology, it's kind of like, what is the actual Kinetic? What is the... Probably Silent Sentinel, if I had to guess.
Unless it's talking like a rail gun, which would be pretty sick.
No, cameras. Package of cameras, detection equipment. As far as what they're using, it's not entirely clear. Where is?
Definitely has its own stylistic look to it with... looks like a missile with, four motors, I would say?
Oh, it's okay. So when it says kinetic energy, it's similar to the drone we'll be talking about next, that Sky Critical, or APS released for their Sky Critical, software. But I can only imagine what Honeywell's going to come up with, especially if they're not, telling us much at all.
Well, the other one that we just talked about last week, the Bull something, or it was just the 240. Remember, they just had the automated 240 machine gun, and the tracking system was layered with the robotic mechanisms to control and fire at a rapid rate. So it will be interesting to see once any information comes out, continuing that theme of where the military is headed and how things are adapting. And so what are we looking at here, Terry?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. This is APS's, Sky Critical system. This is a part of the system, more or less. It's a new kinetic energy counter UAS system that kind of slots into their already made what am I looking for? What word is that?
like a system, so they're detecting it. And kinetic being like actual, like an explosive, like you're using a physical projectile, a bullet, it's, you know, kinetic. So that drone, is, as you can see, is basically a remotely, not remotely piloted, but an autonomous vehicle. And so I think what you're saying is like into the system, they already have a detection system. They have like a non-kinetic means of telling a drone to go somewhere else. And now they're finally adding that, like, you know, ultimate elimination piece.
Well, they do have, they also, I read in that article that they also have like a small cannon that shoots at it too. So they have multiple redundancies that they're adding into like the mesh layer. I think I would trust this company protecting my gas manufacturing plant. If it doesn't get shot at, it will get another drone slammed into it, and it will be eliminated.
Sky Control, too. That was like their...
Do you remember the claymores that we were talking about? That's what you used claymore as the term to describe the size. They have their own claymores. If you click on either the sky or the field, you'll see them. These actually look like claymores.
And so, see, there's their sky control, right? So just kind of your detection, those claymore-looking, you have 360-degree radar detection. And then you have these visual cameras, which would probably be like thermal.
I think that's the radar jammer.
Infrared.
That pole right there.
And then this right here, right? This tube, and then this is an antenna, and this is an antenna, and then this is a receiver or transmitter. And so absolutely, these are your actual devices that are going to... interfere with the C2, with the command and control of the drone. But if you just put a weapon on here, and what they're adding is a projectile, so it doesn't have to be right here. The drone, that projectile drone, can be anywhere within the area. You're just using the detection system to find it, and then you're right sending like, hey, we've detected a drone. Deploy our drone to go fly into and crash into it.
And they have a pretty good video under the case studies page at the top. It's the first video that you can see there. It kind of explains their system a little more in depth.
Critical infrastructure, like oil and gas installations and chemical industrial plants, need the best available means of security.
Yeah, we don't have this guards, kind of video on the Honeywell gates, system.
Cameras, detectors. And they don't say much about their system. They even say on their website that they won't tell you much about it. So,
which guarantees...
But that's big, man. Like that.
Any blind spots against unwanted flying objects.
It's a local iron dome.
The smallest and fastest ones, and immediately neutralizes them with a highly effective jammer at a safe distance from the secured object in just a few seconds. Sky Control System gives total and permanent protection of the airspace. Our system precisely detects, tracks, and classifies them, regardless of the time of day, weather, or any external conditions. Our pioneering Sky Control anti-drone system is constantly protecting the airspace of refinery.
They're like, just set it right outside your secured fenced-in area. And
it looks portable.
Yeah. Well, it does, but not like, I mean, you know, like military jump out.
How convenient is it for the normal person?
I mean... Like they're doing it in the video. So, but you see, they have a van. It's like, yeah, if you can ride up to the, you know, deployment site in your van. And
I know, I feel like it's more portable than, let's say, like, I don't know the name of them, but like, I don't know, the anti-air systems we've had in the past that has to be pulled by a diesel truck with a trailer.
Yeah, like the one with the 240 attached to it. Like, how many holes? There's so many holes in this bracket here. It looks like you could...
It's for adjustments.
So many options. And then you can see even here on the... Looks like there's the same thing. Anyway. Anywho, counter UAS, right? Certainly a very, very important topic as the drones themselves become more capable of doing various things, especially various bad things. It becomes all the more important to be able to detect and and manage. Excuse me. And one thing not bad that drones could be doing soon is picking up some doo-doo. And, you know, this is crazy, right? That this, I'm pretty sure this just came up, like, when you go to Google and news and type the word drone in, like, here it is, just garbage, you know, Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine, this. And then all of a sudden it was like dog poop drone. I was like, what is this? Poop again? But it was really neat. We're not going to watch this whole video. It's like a 12, 11, 10 minute video. I ended up watching it. With Lauren, I was like, you got to look at this. This is just so ridiculous. Dog poop drone cleans up the yard so you don't have to. And I'm like, this is crazy. And it's like, sometimes you instantly know who's behind a project from the subject matter alone. So when we saw this was aerial dog poop removal system show up in the tips line, we knew it had to be the work of Caleb Olson. Like, how the hell did they, like, they're writing this article to as if like, you should know who this guy is. So we immediately do. It was dog poop related. And I'm like, but then
that
if you go
sets
on
off a red
to
flag in my head.
Yeah, it was very strange getting into this. Yeah. So then it was like, if you're unfamiliar with this guy, you know, well, Caleb has done this and this. And what he did is he created a machine learning system, so when his dog would go out and go to the bathroom, his security camera would alert him that the dog did a poop, and then it would track the location. And so there's this crazy stuff, like it's snowing and the dog poops and it gets covered, but he still has this like map and the, you know. And then he created a laser arm, and when he would go to pick the dog poop up, the laser arm would point to where all the poops were, and once he picked one up, it would automatically point to the next poop. Really, just the fact that it's a revolver, you got to kind of get past that part, but it's like the technology and just this, like, so now he comes out with the final autonomous piece is detect the dog has pooped, track the location of the poop, and now send a drone to go and collect the poop up for you. What the hell do you guys think about this?
It's an interesting concept. I think he just kind of made this ironically to see if he could do it, more or less. But I just went to his YouTube channel and there's a video labeled "New project is going well," and it's just that drone just crashing into the ground. It's like 10 seconds. And that's it.
As a startup, though, I get that. You know, like I spiritually feel that this is like that's data they're getting. You know, like this was a failure, but this is what we learned. Essentially,
he's using like the crazy. Like you said, it's crazy because it doesn't make like it's the worst. It's like the idea and the concept, but the theory and the science and the technology behind it is so real.
Yeah, he got bored one day and was like, I got to do this.
just insane.
Tracking the arch of the dog's back to know when it's pooping.
Yep.
Data that you never thought and you then, would put to use.
And then creating just a drone. And so it was really weird to get through all this.
It's weird, though, because I think he made an algorithm, like a library, a data set of images that the computer would learn off of for it to recognize what poop is. And it's like, that's okay. it's a little different, but it works, you know.
And then what happens is he shows you when the drone rotates, it actually closes the poop thing. What the? So the it's carrying this fake poop right now. And then he'll fly it around, and then he can come in and land it. And when it lands, all you do is like push the stick to the left or right and see the drone just yawed a little bit. And when it yaws, it like automatically opens this thing. It's the neatest, weirdest thing that I've seen in a little while.
It's giving the taxidermied cat. That's like the vibe. That's what it's giving to me. But this is way more useful. Just in terms of a feeling, I guess, though.
Not the AI image of drones.
Yeah, I was going to say that I just saw this AI. This has to be recent. I didn't even look to see. I mean, the article just comes out, right? But, I mean, he's like, yeah, you know, you could have a poop service company and they just show up and you either have, like, individual owners or companies that do this. Like, you could mow your own lawn or you could have someone mow it for you.
I don't know if it works for dog poop. I feel like unless your yard's like super small, it's just my dog goes and uses the bathroom in the yard and it doesn't really stay out there for too long, I don't think. So.
Or like the grass, it has to be like really, it's like, it'd be like, you know, hardwood floor versus shag carpet. You know, if there's poop in the shag carpet, it's kind of anyway.
Yeah. You gotta keep your grass cut to get the poop copter.
The poop copter. He's very entertaining. We'll have the link posted in the description of the podcast, but he's an entertaining person, for sure. So what'd they say? Caleb Olson. It's worth a watch. It's very, very interesting. I mean, who knows, you know, if one of those goes on sale and happens to become available, like early adopter, I might have to do some like beta testing. Continue me to the site. So storms, the hurricane came through, right? Drones have showed us kind of, what the heck is this? Strictly Robots. Here we go. So we talked a lot about drones afterwards. We've seen some of the videos. This here, the NOAA has a sail drone. And so they were able to actually deploy this sail drone into the ocean. Like it was in the ocean. So this thing went right into the storm's eye wall where the winds were the strongest. You can see 30-foot waves. This is what the drone ship looks like right here. I don't understand how this thing goes into a hurricane and survives when you have this big, massive billboard sticking up.
It looks like I could just flip it over.
Right? 70 kilometer mile an hour winds.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, tech, it's just really cool. I think it said it somewhere in the corner. Yeah, there it was. 71.82 not wind gusts. And 9 meter wave heights. So it was like 86, 100 miles an hour, it was like 90, 85, 90 mile an hour winds. Sail drone. So the company Sail Drone obviously sold some of these drones to the NOAA. Look at that. So just another one of those things where we've talked about it, but seeing it, I mean, they've got fleets of these things.
Yeah, and so like the undervessel part of the, I guess we're going to call it a drone, is it's bigger than you think it is. So that's the reason it doesn't just tip over randomly. Something cool it does is it maps the ocean floor, I guess, if you wanted it to. This is going to be insane for gathering data, especially for like hurricanes. I can see why the NOAA bought a few.
Made in the USA. Yeah, the I mean, you're 100% right. Like, that weight is definitely like on bottom is keeping it kind of right buoyant. Whatever that is. See, solar panels, right? Getting that power. You got your wind meter, you got your precision GPS. Pretty awesome. A little spec sheet. Check out your sail drone. We got our surveyor, yep. So if you want to, you know, map the ocean, you're more research-based. You got your Voyager, a little defense and security. Yeah, this is what I'll, like, yes, this is the boat that I will use to go explore the ocean. My ass will stay right here. I will go anywhere in the ocean that you want to go. While sitting here in America.
Are you scared of the ocean, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I don't know
if you'll fly in the middle tube, but you won't go on a boat ride?
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, my dad asked me if I wanted to go on a cruise. He's like, yeah, I'll pay for the family. And I was like, as he asked the question, I was like, the anxiety was just through the roof. It was like, I'm like, all I wanted to do is say no, but it was like the whole family's gone. I was just thinking about fine, whatever. And so, I said yes, but then, like 4 days later, he's like, yeah, the time's not going to work out. So we're not going to go on the cruise. I was like, oh, bummer.
Darn.
We might just have to go to Disney or Orlando. I was like, oh no, I wanted to go on the cruise so bad. I've been on one and the boat rocked, man. I don't know. It's just,
I've heard cruises aren't the best. Usually they're usually like overpacked. It's like being in a busy mall all day.
And then just the floating in the water, you know, like if you survive it, now you're in the water, now you have to survive the water versus like, if I could just get on the plane to the ground and then if I can just, you know, survive the initial impact, it might be a little more severe, but at least then you're walking, you know, once the plane goes down, potentially, as long as you're like femurs and sticking through your stomach or something. And so speaking of Samuel's gone missing, so speaking of missing people, we're looking at success stories now, and just recently we saw a drone team assist local authorities in a rescue of a missing teenager. This is in Eugene, Oregon. There was an endangered teen girl who's reported missing, was actually found unable to move due to exhaustion and rescued on Thursday night of this past week. They're stating that given her position, they don't think they would have found her without the drone, even though once they put the drone up, they did find that this individual was only about 1,700 feet away from where the drone launched. However, she was stuck in a huge blackberry thicket. So another example of where, right, just because someone goes missing, it doesn't mean you have 100 people looking. You might have, you know, a smaller, you know, less population, more area to cover, less people. So with humans, visual eyes at night, even when someone's this close, you may not be able to find them. But the Metro drone team joined the Lane County Sheriff's Office and approximately 15 search and rescue volunteers. The EPD officer drone operator launched the M30 drone with a GL60 mini spotlight. It's a little tech talk there, but the Matrice 30 is about an $10,000 drone, right? Made by DJI. And within minutes, officers are able to locate this individual. and then guide the Lane County Sheriff's Office search and rescue team to her GPS coordinates. Using the drone as a spotlight, the deputies were then able to more easily get her out.
Interesting. I don't know. It's just when I think of this, it's like, what caused this person to walk into a blueberry thicket? I don't even know what a blueberry thicket is, but you have to get there somehow, you know?
Yeah. It did say that that the girl here, I don't remember
in terms
exactly
of how she ended
mentioned.
Up there is what Terry was asking.
Yeah, Fisher said that the teenager, is this what you were you just say? She was just had a top, shorts, no shoes, no phone, no money, food or water, and was in the middle of a mental health crisis.
Oh, okay.
Brought on by a physical condition.
Mm. Well, that's my bad, but I don't know.
Teenage girls, Terry.
They get lost in those blueberry thickets all the time.
Well,
dude, I can't blame them. I'd get lost in a blueberry thicket. Sounds
sometimes
nice.
They get very, you know, get your phone taken away. Not really sure exactly what's going on here, right? So, like, you're right. We don't have the full backstory. But one thing we do know is when it comes to public safety and you get a phone call, you know, it doesn't really matter. So having the tools, once this person's stuck in a blueberry thicket with no phone and, you know, no shoes on, at that point, how they got here doesn't really matter. And what was neat is the officer mentioned how he was then able, you know, right here, it says, I let them look on my screen in order to see their loved one being cared for by all of the responders. So I just thought the way that this story was told was pretty neat, because they highlighted the drone operator and the significance that this played in one, finding the individual, and then two, you know, also I think everyone who's flown a drone, even not to save someone, you've always had the people that want to kind of look and see what's going on. And in this instance, being able to just show that screen, it helped people get a feeling of a little happiness back sooner than
comfort.
The comfort, right? That comfort returned to these people sooner than having to maybe just wait to physically see the person. Thanks, Terry. We've been seeing that. I mean, just like we're seeing the DFR programs pop up, I think almost once a week, every other week now, you're seeing these success stories, especially when everybody's trying to ban DJI, right? Everybody's, you see these stories more because there's a reason to tell them. In the past, people are just taking this technology for granted, right? They use it, they help save someone's life, and they're not like, you know, hey, this is awesome. They're just assuming they're always going to have access to this, you know, low cost, super capable technology. But now all of a sudden they want to ban it. It's good to see people come out and promote it. And so when I saw that article, the first thing I was like, well, let's see what drone they used. And sure enough, the M30. Sticking on to this success theme, Asselon, company we've talked about a few times and a few episodes of Weekly Wings, unveils their Guardian drone, which is an automated aerial security system. This new solution offers streamlined security for critical industries with 24/7 operational capabilities. Drone in a box. So, right, what's the significance of this? Because I'm like thinking, hey, we've already known that they have drones in a box, right?
Yeah, I thought we already talked about Asselon's drone in a box. Is this a new one they've released?
This is. So the key point here is the autonomous feature. They have now introduced not just a drone in a box, but a drone in a box that does all the autonomous recharging, battery swaps, and it can be deployed without human intervention. So they're fully tied into all their sensors. That's what I'm reading into this system. So being able to do routine patrols and monitoring, you know, all in real time without having to have a human in the loop. And what's super interesting is there's that red button. This red button right here is started on the DJI dock, but it's now becoming synonymous with almost every other dock.
It's kind of like that button do.
It's an emergency stop button.
Okay.
Design wise, that makes sense.
It's kind of like that yellow, like the yellow parachute cap that's coming, you know, you see on all the systems. And so automated, you know, key features of the Guardian, Aslan's Drone IQ software. It integrates with the ground solutions like DroneDog and connects to the existing VMS video management softwares and alarm systems. So they have automated operations, patented battery swap, FAA compliance, and optimized for BV loss waivers. Yep. So another development and advancement for them as they continue to build out their security platform.
Could we, not to take away from Aslan, but could we bring up that D-Box, like packet drone in the box thing that I sent not too long ago?
Yes.
It's kind of a, so it's a drone in a box, but they don't supply you with the drone. You can just kind of put any drone you want in there, from what I can tell. I just thought it was really cool. It's a little expensive, but it's just kind of like a plug-and-play system. A pretty cool video you guys can go watch is Robots versus Thieves, My New Security System by Hacksmith Industries. They use this system in their video. That one has a green button, not a red button.
Notably.
Green means go.
You press that button and go. It's just everything takes off all at once.
Yeah, this thing's pretty interesting looking.
Yeah, but you just kind of, I guess, get new firmware on your drone. I don't know exactly how it works, but it just flies the drone for you. I think you put the controller in the box and that uses a little robot to fly it. So.
Yeah, there's a company called Hextronics.
I don't know how reliable that is, but it's pretty cool.
There's a company called Hextronics and they have a dock. Now they're selling circuit boards. I think it's the Universal. Yeah. So the Universal, it's kind of funny. This thing will take off and then it like lands back in the.
It's like a pizza oven.
Well, there goes the drone.
Because this thing works with the same concept as your DJI, and so I saw this at commercial UAV. Actually, I think they're going to show it right here. In this, they might. You actually put the remote in, yeah, just like this. I'll make sure we're not going to kill anybody.
Yeah.
And it's still loud.
It's impressive. Yeah,
putting your remote in. Enabling autonomy. Oh, they must have showed the install way back here.
Like removes and adds new batteries. I mean, this is a pretty cool concept by both of these companies.
Yeah, and then this is what the app looks like on your screen, like on your phone. So you put the batteries in, it's got a little... But how many cycles have they ran on this thing, you know? And then the controller gets plugged in, and so the controller has to be turned on. It's inside this box. So you're flying the remote still, but you're sending commands to the remote over the internet. Which any other box is no different. Right? Like the box that you just showed Terry. It you have to put the remote inside. So that's just super strange. Because you think of like, is it going to overheat? You know, you have a screen that you don't need. So there's, it's not, it wasn't designed for that. Is it going to die? Is it going to trip out? So when you look at a traditional dock, you're building the dock with the same components that are in the remote, but you're not doing, but the remote doesn't exist. If that makes sense.
I do believe the D-Box software is open source as well. I think that's why the Hacksmith Industries used that particular one, because they could kind of do whatever they wanted with it.
Yeah, you can, like, because a lot of these autonomous boxes, you're wanting it to do some really crazy stuff. So the manufacturer of some of these boxes are building them for, you know, very specific use cases like first responder or industrial inspection. The third-party software might not always work. If you build your own box, you have full control over the, you know, developer toolkits and software and all that stuff. But here we have, again, we're kind of transitioning to our regulatory corner. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office will be launching a drone as a first responder program in the Woodlands. This came out maybe about a week ago. Texas County is initiating their DFR program in a Houston suburb. Woodlands is a master planned suburban development 30 miles north of Houston. Growing list of communities that are coming under the watchful eye of police agency DFR programs. Sounds like there's some money there, right?
To me, it does.
Community might even be help pay for some of this stuff. So starting by the end of October, right? Hopefully they're initiating some of their DFR tests before Halloween. Focusing around the Woodlands Town Center, Austin-based company. So it looks like they're going to be using DroneSense software. So if they're using DroneSense... I wonder, and see here they talk about the real-time crime center. The real-time crime center. That's where all the data is going to get pushed to. Drone will be able to help them determine what kind of resources will be needed in order to respond more efficiently. Sheriff's Office currently holds 4 FAA certification of authorization waivers authorizing BV loss flights. These authorize first responder BV loss and tactical BV loss, which allow flights beyond visual line of sight. Generally, with a visual observer, the Sheriff's Office will use its first responder BV loss to operate its DFR program until the department receives its full BV loss waiver. Oh, wow. This sheriff's office has 16 drones. What kind of drones do they have? Well, largely compromised of DJI models, including the Mavic 2, the Mavic Enterprise 2, the Mavic Enterprise 3, and the Matrice 30T, as well as an Autel Evo 2.
Just one.
Yeah, just
everything else is DJI.
Here we go. The department also has 6 DJI Avata drones for indoors tactical operations, and it recently acquired a DJI Dock 2 with the Matrice 3TD. Good for them. How awesome. 16 of its officers are certified in remote pilot. That's fantastic.
Good for them.
Yes. This is really...
This is in what? Like, what is this near? The Woodlands?
Houston.
Texas?
Yeah, I was going to try to look it up, too, to see... I just wanted to get an idea.
North of Houston. There's a place called Ray Ford.
Not images. Let's go to maps. Oh, wow. Look at this, dude.
Massive area.
Yeah, but where the heck is that water all about? Oh, the Lake Woodlands. Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely an area. Where you've got a lot going on. A drone could probably help. But... Woodlands Country Club. So I'm imagining this whole area here.
Looks like this area has a lot of money.
Drone delivery.
Yeah, it does look like a great spot for drone delivery.
You know, it's just like, I wonder if you could just like multi-layer this with a camera and just be like, in case of an emergency, delivery drone, camera on. It's like, you know, like you're like delivering to this street and at the same time a police call is coming in four houses down.
I mean, for that decompression, I feel like that's...
Look at this.
Yeah. Eventually I have to talk to each other.
Or just deploy the... Just deploy the delivery drone.
It's already there.
Yeah. Is that cloud? No. All right. A patent. Are you guys familiar with Bosch? The company Bosch?
They make electric razors, I think.
I don't potentially. I don't think they... Do they make razors? I don't think they make... Braun.
It's like Yamaha. That's just make whatever they want.
That's Braun. Braun definitely makes razors. Bosch. It's a little bit different. If someone is cutting your, if someone's trimming your beard with a Bosch tool, you owe a debt to some bookie. Bosch.
They
is
do
power.
Have hair care products.
What?
They have hair care products. No razors, but they have hair care products.
Bosch does?
Yes. They okay. make those tools as well.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. But yeah, so like the power tool company, I grew up with the, when someone said get at work at the get the Bosch impact, I always knew the Bosch as the hammer drill for putting rebar into the sides of buildings and stuff like that. But anyway, Bosch has a anti-drone system that they have gotten a patent for. So why is this interesting? Of all the, you know, counter UAS technologies, especially the ones we talked about earlier, is the technology that they have introduced is for drone to drone counter UAS. So pilot on the ground, putting a drone up in the air, right? Potentially using that drone to scan the airspace around, detect a nearby drone, and then also transmit, right, a jamming signal.
It's interesting that Bosch is now getting into drones.
Well, we talked about in the past, though, it's like Ford Motor Company has a bunch of patents out for drones and attaching them to vehicles, but they've never moved forward on these patents. They're just securing it. It's like It's like when you have a team of people that know how to write patents, you're writing patents because it's like buying a website. You don't know if you're ever going to use it. But hell, if somebody, you know, all of a sudden is trying to come up with a product, you can sell them. They could sell the patent.
You have that .com already in place.
The it'd be like and right, government funding, just going back to last year, $33 million contracts. The technology is crazy. Like, what is the answer? What is the solution? You know, shooting it down once it's inside this range. What if you deploy a drone? Like, just send a drone out and have a drone constantly doing a perimeter scan. Well, what if it detects another drone? What the hell? It doesn't even need to detect a drone. This thing's just going to fly around and constantly send out a jamming signal. And you know what? Terry, what if you were piloting this drone with a fiber optic cable?
I knew you were going to ask that. Well, that's where you go back to APS's system where they can shoot it down or hit it with another drone. Okay. It doesn't need to be jammed.
That's right. This, because this, now your own drone is susceptible, but hey, you could have a tethered fiber optic cable attached to, a drone that's emitting a jamming frequency, and because that drone's being piloted, as you had pointed out, we didn't really dive into, but now there is some overlap, right? Fiber optic remote piloting for anti-jamming. We have one final piece of news that we're going to dive into here before we sign off for this week, and it takes us to Boston. In Boston, man faces $5,000 fine and drone forfeiture for flight over marathon. And then there's the not so good stories with DJI being involved. A Boston man is facing serious legal consequences after flying his DJI Mavic drone dangerously close to the Boston Marathon finish line, prompting a dramatic mid-air interception by law enforcement. 30 years old, Alan Nipp.
I found his Instagram profile. Already. So, I just looked up his name. There he is.
Is that easy?
Content?
No, his account's private.
Oh. Once the drone was secured, law enforcement traced it back to his apartment on West Springfield Street, where he reportedly admitted to flying it that morning. So they were able to... his remote controller issued warnings. He was in the restricted zone. He ignored them. Interesting. Federal law enforcement were monitoring the airspace. So here, you know, you have the Boston Marathon. So like of all places, you know, the Boston Marathon, where not so long ago, very awful things have happened. What's really neat about this story is to know that the federal, right, I don't know what word to use here, the federal law enforcement was on site and they were actively monitoring the airspace. They must have had, here we've talked about two or three counter UAS solutions that exist. You know, it's refreshing to see that they had the system working and they actually caught somebody, right? Yeah.
Well, did they see it or did they get alerted with something they were using? I mean, it's possible they just seen a drone and then just followed it back to where he was at.
Right. Well, that's what it says here. The drone was detected by federal law enforcement monitoring the airspace near the finish line. It was intercepted mid-flight and was landed in a secure location in Boston's Back Bay area.
Oh, so it was intercepted.
And once it was secured, they traced it back to his apartment. Yeah, they took this guy's drone, man. They intercepted.
Drone got pulled over.
They did. Yeah, they were doing what should have been done in Pennsylvania. Hours before a rally.
I wonder what system they used for that. To hijack the drone, make it come back with them.
And you know what's curious is, like, did they do their pre-planning in order to know, like you don't detect a drone and then you're like, oh, where should we land it? Oh my God, I didn't even think a drone was going to show up. You know what I mean? Like, I would imagine they were like, look, if we detect a drone in this sector, this is where we're going to force it to land. That's like a well-established security plan, right? Not just to say, well, we're going to set up and detect drones. Well, what if we detect one? Where are we going to put it? Where are we going to make this drone land so that we can get to it first? Right? They had it land in a secure location. It didn't land anywhere. It landed in what they would define as a secure location. Hey, we intercepted a flight here and we're going to send it here. But if we had intercepted it down over here, right, the landing point probably would have been somewhere else. This dude's like, oh my God, could you imagine being Alan? Your drone just never comes back.
Well, what happened? I mean, I'm assuming the secure area had to be somewhere open, because we know what happened at the Boston Marathon before. They're probably expecting there to be some type of, you know, weapon on it. So they probably landed it in like an open field. I wonder if, I don't know.
Oh, and they probably flew a drone up to it. They probably, you know, treated it like as if it was an explosive. But great job by those folks for, you know, it seems like it wasn't a significant threat, but again,
good practice.
if you can't tell, right? And I think that's where remote ID comes into play. So I'd be really curious to know, I already kind of closed it out here. I'd be curious to know, like, is this person certified? I mean, there's no way you could be and have done that. I just don't think most people would have gone through a course and know, like, hey, these are the do's and don'ts. And if you aren't 100% sure that you should be there, you shouldn't be there. Right. Like, if you're like, you know, teenage, you're out drinking some beers and shooting some guns and something, like, well, I didn't know we couldn't be here. Did someone give you permission to be here? Right. You know what I mean? Samuel's like, what the hell is he talking about? Like,
I think that adds up, I would say.
Had a lot of fun growing up in Connecticut. Be like, well, there wasn't a sign that said we couldn't be here. Well, is there a sign that says you can be here? No. Yeah, so that was a pretty interesting one. That was one that jumped out as I had to go all the way to like page 4. You know, it was like Ukraine, Israel, Ukraine, Gaza, Ukraine, Russia, China. Russia's building drones in China. You know, who's surprised though? And then it was like 4th page. It was like Boston man, $5,000 fine. I was like, oh, wow. We still have a long way to go on the education here, but yeah, great job by law enforcement involved there. You guys running any marathons anytime soon? No, Terry.
Talking to Terry about running a 5K.
5K. Goodness. Yeah. Man. That's me. I sign up for the 5K and then I show up and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to kill it. It's like 30 seconds in, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm here for the shirt. Now, Terry, it's just a short 35-minute jog, you know?
Just a short 35-minute jog that would never be able to happen for me personally.
5K walk, run.
I could do that. Yeah, I'll get there in a few hours, so we'll see.
Well, fantastic episode as always. We talked a little bit about space and the Dragon that recently made it to the ISS that will be flying back. The crew that went up, as well as test pilots who have been there and will be there for a significantly longer time than they expected. If you're in the Dallas area and you happen to be able to check out the Sky Elements shows, we're super jealous, but can't wait to see what they continue to do. Counter UAS talked a lot about that because just all the significance it's playing both here in the United States, and then also that what that technology means for military operations. So certainly it's getting a lot of awareness, and then there's a lot of funding that goes into defense and security. So it'll be interesting to see how that technology matures over the next 12 to 24 months for use both here and abroad. The Poop Copter, we'll put the link in there. You can check it out. You got to watch the video. It's super funny. It's interesting. It has a lot of that technical aspect of, image recognition, machine learning, and then the UAS side. So pretty cool there. Sail drone flying into the hurricane. Same thing with the counter UAS tech. It'll be interesting to see how marine UAS or marine UAVs continue to develop. And then great job. Yeah, I would say public safety. We appreciate what everybody's doing. Law enforcement, fire, emergency responders. It's easy to think during those times of emergency response to recognize it, but it's, the things that they're doing on a daily basis, finding missing teenagers, helping folks during natural disasters. And then also, doing things to ensure that these, large events stay safe, using the technology to find the folks that are non-compliant and help make sure that things go safe. So lots of information packed in this episode. As always, we appreciate all of our listeners, folks, for tuning in. Hopefully you found some, knowledge, insight, and information in this episode. We appreciate you tuning in. Thank you to DroneLife.com. Make sure to check out DroneLife.com throughout the week between now and next episode to get all of the latest information and news on the UAS industry. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Samuel. Appreciate your time and attention. And we will see you all next week on the next episode of Weekly Wings. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.